Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The Porsche Carrera Cup North America on IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special programme here on the Radio Show Limited network of channels. Once again, in 2021, IMSA Radio will be covering all of the events of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America. Well, I say once again, but of course it's the first time we have had Porsche Carrera Cup North America in our time with IMSA Radio. Been GT3 Cup Challenge North America in seasons past. But the point is, we're covering all the races. We'll have them in sound and vision with no blocks or breaks wherever you are in the world. Let's talk to my IMSA Radio colleagues, Shea Adam and Jeremy Shaw, about an exciting new development then for the 2021 season. Jeremy, the upgrade, if you will, brand new championship to Carrera Cup North America. The timing hasn't always been right in the past. Carrera Cup around the world is one of the most well-established single manufacturer series and has brought forth some stupendous talent who have gone on to very great things. With Porsche Carrera Cup North America, North America finally gets the Carrera Cup, and Michelin tyres on board as well, as they are with the majority of the Carrera Cups around the US. And that will, along with the brand new car, that will make quite a difference, I think, this year.
Well, not much to talk about then, huh? Completely different for this year. In the past, the series in North America has been very much based just towards the amateur drivers. No professionals have been allowed into the series at all, and so now it's at a completely different level. I think there's various reasons for that having taken place over the last 15 years or so, how long the championship had been running as a GT3 Cup, but now. They've determined that the time is right. I must admit, I always had concerns that if you look at the budgets to run a proper Carrera Cup by fully professional drivers are allowed, then they could be quite substantially higher than for the regular kind of non-pro series. Judging by the take-up on these cars, it's going to be a big success. It's certainly a super entry, and with Michelin joining the Carrera Cup as well, alongside all the other IMSA platforms with which are involved this season, it's just going to be a completely different level of championship, I think, for 2021. Very exciting.
And Shea, adding to all the things that are new, we're hoping that the racing doesn't change. They're very close and combative sometimes. Highly entertaining racing that we've had. We're fairly certain, actually, that won't change. But what we have got is a brand new car for 2021. And the US getting that right at the start of the life of the 992 Carrera Cup car. This is the new body, the Type 992. All wide arched cars for the street cars. Bigger diameter wheels on the back than the front for the first time ever for a Porsche. That carries over to, for a 911, that carries over to the race car as well. Over 500 horsepower from the venerable 4-litre flat six. And over 20 of them making their way to the US, which is probably a few more, I think, than even the best hopes for Porsche Motorsport North America might have been.
Yeah, for sure. It's what everybody dreamed would happen, that we would have a full grid of these cars making their debut at Sebring International Raceway. Of course, it's still very much a Porsche, as you said, with the 4-liter flat six. It weighs 1,260 kilograms, so it's not fleet of foot. It hasn't gone on a little bit of a winter diet, but it is still the type of car that, with an aluminum steel composite body, it will be light enough and nimble enough that it's perfect training for these drivers who are coming into the Carrera Cup, as you rightly say, for the first time, to use it as either a launching point for a career, or in the case of some of our previous champions running in this series, perhaps a point to prove that they still have what it takes. And one thing that I find really interesting about this new car, the rear wing is adjustable to 11 different positions. So although it is a spec car in a spec series, there are a lot of ways that you can manipulate this beast to make it faster for yourself.
Yeah, the suspension is a whole new setup as well for people to get their heads around. Or at least for, what, about two-thirds of the field, Jeremy? Because there will be, for 2021, a round dozen for the first round at Sebring, at least, a 991 Gen 2 category. That is the previous version of the cars. It's termed Pro-Am. And as I said, 12 cars in that. That's a decent entry as well. And, of course, that is a separate championship, if you will, within the Carrera Cup North America.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic entry list. I think if you look at, even compare it to the Super Cup last season in Europe, there's way more cars are going to be in this first round of the new 992 series here in North America. So, yeah, it's super competitive. And it looks like the series has got off to a really, really strong start. And these cars are fast. I mean, significantly quicker than last year's cars. Of course, you know, I mean, a new Porsche Carrera Cup car isn't going to be slower than the previous one, but this is a big step forward. And certainly with the change to Michelin tyres as well, lap times are going to be a lot quicker than they were in the past.
I've seen people talking about 2 seconds and more at various places they're expecting this year, about half of that from the car and half of that from the tyre, per lap. How's that going to fit in then? Half that from the tyre and half that from the car. How's that going to fit in then, Jeremy, these quicker cars with the dozen or so, what is called Pro-Am 991, the second generation 991 cars, which are held over for this year only? Effectively, you've got a two-class system, but it is a championship in itself.
Yeah, no, I mean, the new cars are going to be significantly quicker. I mean, probably 3 or 4 seconds a lap faster than the previous generation cars, I think. If you look at the lap times, there was a test session. The first time these cars had run in anger was last week at Sebring. The fastest time was sub 2 minute one. The lap record for these cars at this track with the older 991 version car was a 204 for qualifying. So that's more than 3 seconds quicker. Wow. And last year when there was a race at Sebring towards the end of the year, and I think the best time there was a 5. So a lot faster. And there's going to be a fairly steep learning curve, I think, for these teams.
We're going to get a bit of lappery, aren't we? With the cars at the front, the pro drivers, and we'll come on to them at the moment. But I don't want to forget the 991 category cars, because there's some good teams, very good teams, teams that our listeners will recognise. There's some drivers that they will recognise, but there's also some people coming in here who might not quite be up to speed yet.
Yeah, and for sure. We've got some familiar names running in this category. Joe Still has a couple of starts from the series last year, I believe it was. Kurt Hunt is another name that's familiar. Mike Levitas, former gold champion in the series multiple times over. Frank Razzo, our favorite airline pilot, is back once again with Top Racing in the Apex Capital car. Tom Balamas, we've got Joe Lombardo. A lot of these drivers that have been series, if not staples, regulars over the past 5 years. But as you say, we're bringing in new names and faces. The favorite one for me is definitely Ted Giovannis running in a Porsche, not new to racing in Porsches, but new to this spec of series. And when you've got people who are not necessarily learning the tracks, but learning the cars, mixed in with people learning the tracks and not learning the cars, it's going to lead to a variety of lap times. And I think we are going to see a lot of lap traffic.
Yeah, and we should say that Ted has raced Porsches in the past. He's won championships in Porsches in the past. He's running the number 64. That's a a number that is significant to him for the TGMJKTG Foundation car. And using it, Jeremy, because he wants to go racing in another championship, but he's still going to be racing, of course, in the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge in the TGM entered car. It's quite a lot of weekends, double duty, which he's hoping just gives him a bit of extra track time.
Well, I mean, he's making up for lost time, isn't he? Because with the COVID-19 pandemic last year, he did hardly any racing at all. He did the opening round of the season in the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series. He did club racing towards the end of the year, but you know, this year, yeah, he's fully making up for it. He did already run the Rolex 24 at Daytona at the end of January. So he's going to be a busy guy.
Very busy indeed. And we look forward to seeing those previous generation cars, the 12 of them throughout the season, 12 out of the 35. Now, as far as the 992 cars are concerned, we have a two-class situation here with a Pro and a Pro-Am. Now, as Jeremy mentioned earlier on, we were wondering between ourselves when we first got wind of this quite a while ago now that there was likely to be a Carrera Cup North America, where the Pro drivers would come from, where the money would come to pay for their driving, because some of the names that we're talking about will not be expecting to put their own hard-earned down to go and race these cars. We needn't have worried, because there are 14 entries in the Pro category itself, and for no other reason than I've got the sheet in front of me that starts with Pro. We will start with that, and we'll do it, I think, in team order rather than the numbers. But I will start with the number 2, which is the lowest number car in the Pro category for the 992 class. This is JDX Racing. They have another entry as well, which I'll ask Jeremy Short to talk about. Sean McAllister and Parker Thompson, two names that we do know in the lineup for the Porsche Carrera Cup North America this year, the numbers 2 and 9.
Yeah, for both of them, you know, they have run Porsche Carrera the GT3 Cup Series in the past. Sean McAllister has done the last couple of years with JDX, an accomplished racer on the regional level, was still just about getting himself up to speed in the GT3 Cup cars last year. He had a couple of podium finishes, a couple of second place finishes last year. I don't expect him to be probably challenging at the front, although he's certainly making big strides forward. Parker Thompson is a youngster, 23 years of age. He's actually only a year younger than Sean, but he's certainly got much more credentials, so to speak, coming into this championship. Most of Parker's racing in the past has been in the open wheel ranks. He's from Red Deer, Alberta in Canada. He's been on the road to India, been very successful on that road to India. Hasn't won a championship, but he's come ridiculously close on four or five occasions. He's finished in the top three, I think, three times or maybe four times in championships at the end of the year, has Parker. He also dabbled in GT3 Cup racing a couple of years ago. He did a few races with the JDX team, massively impressed them, but he had so much on his plate that year that he ended up concentrating on the open wheel stuff, and then the GT3 Cup series kind of fell by the wayside for him. Yes. Although he did compete in the Canadian Championship and finished second there. So Parker, I think, is most definitely going to be a man to watch for this team.
And Shea, there isn't a third JDX 992. That's in the Pro-Am category. Number 54 is a very familiar number to all of us who've been involved in IMSA racing for a many amount of time. And it's with the person to whom with whom we associate it.
With a very familiar livery and driver coach as well, because for Tim Pappas, coming in to run in the Pro-Am class, clearly this is a championship hunt for Tim. Jerome Bleek-Mullen was his driver coach at the test at Sebring, a week ago or so now. But for Tim Pappas, this is a chance to prove that some of the magic that he had back, 10, 12 years ago, is not gone. He was the 2010 and 2011 GTC champion in the ALMS. And remember, that was an all Porsche category. He feels like this is an opportunity to come back and reclaim some of the status in North America. So for Tim, it's been an interesting past couple of years. He had that big crash at Bathurst. Remember, that was only 2 years ago. The year before, he'd gotten the win at Bathurst. He's a former Sebring 12-hour winner, a former Petit Le Mans winner. This is a guy who knows how to race well in North America. And looking at his competition, he's got to be feeling really good about coming in with the new car and a capability to put maybe not a Black Swan racing car at the top of the charts, but JDX for sure.
Yeah, still in the same black and chrome green colorway, as Shay mentioned. Shay, I'll stay with you. I'm going to leave Kelly Moss Road and Race, the most profligate in terms of numbers, to the end of our run through here of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America. 311 RS Motorsport, the cars 11 and 12 in the pro category. Ryan Gates from Minneapolis and Atlanta's Lee Keane. Tell us first of all what you know about Ryan.
Ryan's dad, Bruce, of the team 311 RS Motorsport, alongside somebody who's actually running in the Pro-Am category, Jeffrey Masurek from Orono, Minnesota. I think I just butchered that name, but that's about how right it sounds. He's actually running with Goldcrest. So interesting that he's not fielding one of his own cars capability. But Ryan Gates coming in to this racing alongside Lee Keane. Lee is somebody that you look at and think, oh man, he's going to be a championship contender for sure. As a two-time Grand Am champion, he finished second in GTC back in 2012, driving alongside Cooper McNeil. He's somebody who knows all the tracks. He knows Porsches very, very well, and he will adapt very quickly to the 992. So Lee will definitely be somebody that Ryan is leaning on to try and figure out the car and learn this style of racing. But if this brand new team, which is still in its days of infancy, the website still isn't functioning fully for the team, if they can figure it out quickly under Lee's tutelage, they will be quick, not only with one car, but with both.
And that team, is it new to this any kind of racing, do we know, Shay and Jeremy, or have they done other things before 311 RS?
A lot of experience, particularly in club racing, basically. Time Attack Series as well have been massively successful over the years. But I think this is a big step up, certainly, for that team.
Right. OK. Well, it's going to be very competitive for them. We'll find out their mettle fairly quickly. Again, we'll miss out the Kelly Moss Road and Race number 15. MRS GT have got a car entered at the number 16. And depending on when you're listening to this, the driver may or may not have been announced pretty close to the start of the season. But just to abide by any embargoes that are still out there, depending on when you're listening, we'll skip past that one and move on to Max Root, Maxwell Root, the man from San Diego, California, More Speed, Wright Motorsports. Jeremy, another one of the teams who know what to do. More Speed and Wright teaming up for this. There's a second Wright car for Hutton McKenna from Newport Beach. And a third Wright Motorsports car for John Gutz in the Pro-Am 992. But really, anybody who's listened to us in the past shouldn't need that much introduction to at least Maxwell in the number 19.
Yeah, that's true. He a couple of years ago, 2019, he finished second in the championship to Roman De Angelis. Ended the year particularly strongly, had three wins towards the end of the year, a whole bunch of podium finishes, he had a super battle for most of that year with Riley Dickinson, who's another guy we're going to be talking about very shortly as well. Roman De Angelis was long gone in the lead of the championship that year, but that was Max's second year of racing and did a really, really good job. Last year, he raced in the SRO World Challenge America, or whatever it's called these days, series, and had some success there in the Pro-Am class with another former GT3 Cup driver, Fred Poordad. So again, with the Wright Motorsports team. So kind of, you know, he is for sure, I think, going to be a strong contender through this championship.
Number 88, Hutton McKenna, under the Wright Motorsports banner, from sort of out your way, Jeremy, Newport Beach. What do you know about him?
Not a whole heck of a lot, I must admit, because he hasn't done any professional racing in the past, I don't think. But his family are long-time Porsche dealers here out on the West Coast, and Hutton himself has done a fair bit of racing, mainly, you know, in the Porsche Club North America and non-professional racing over the last few years, and certainly has had some success there. So I would expect him to be a pretty quick learner and to get him up to speed before too long, get himself up to speed before too long.
Shea, in the Pro-Am 992 class, the third of the Wright Motorsports car. And remember, we started off talking about Maxwell, who is the co-branded car, which is Mosprey and Wright Motorsport. But the other Wright Motorsport car, I've sort of thrown them all in together here in the 992, is the 57. This is John Gertz. What can you tell us and our listeners about John?
John ran in the what was then GT3 Cup Challenge in 2015 and 2013 with Wright in 15 and MGM in 2013. So he does have some starts under his belt, and he is familiar with the general gist of the championship. But lately, he's been racing Porsche Club America. As far as the East Coast Club is concerned, he's based out of Weston, Connecticut. This is a big jump up, and this is sort of whetting the appetite for a full-time championship run, whereas in the past he's just dabbled here or there.
Let's move through to the next team in the 992 class for this year. This is the number 38, Dylan Murray, the Georgia resident, BGB Motorsports, Jeremy. And again, Dylan Murray, a name that you and I and Shea have talked about in the past.
Yeah, and a really talented young man, second generation racer. Of course, his dad David had a lot of success in Porsches through the mainly through the 1990s and 2000s. So the youngster, just still only 19 years of age, was a bit of a star in the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series over the last couple of years, driving alongside Jim Cox from Florida. He's had a couple of wins in that series. He's also going to be racing this year in the IMSA World Tech Sports Car Championship with Jim Cox in an LMP3 car. So he's going to be a busy guy. You know, he started out in karts at a young age. He's raced legends, late models, you name it. He's driven as Dylan Murray, and you're a really talented young guy. I think he should be absolutely one of the front runners in this championship.
His teammate in the pro category for BGB wears, or his car will wear the number, carry the number 69 for Thomas Collingwood, Shea. And I feel I should know Thomas's name, but I don't know why.
Yeah. Because he has raced with BGB Motorsports in the Michelin Pilot Challenge for the last couple of years.
There you go.
He drove alongside Jan Halen last year.
There you go, of course. Thank you.
But for you in particular, John, Thomas Collingwood is a name that should be a little bit more special. He is a massive car fanatic. And if you look at his Instagram, he always runs car number 69. So the fact that he's coming into a series where they're allowing him to do that is just icing on the cake. He has run Pikes Peak in a Porsche bearing car number 69 before. So clearly this guy is missing a couple of nuts and bolts up in the brain if he's willing to drive off the side of the mountain like that. But he does have a history of racing in Porsches by himself as well. He was third in the Pirelli GT4 America East AM category in 2019. It's not like he's running without a co-driver for the first time ever, and BGB making the transition from Pilot Challenge. This is going to be a fun team to watch.
I think fair to say, though, Jeremy, against some of the competition there in the black windshield cars, what we would have called platinum in the past, the pro category with the black accoutrements, Thomas Collingwood perhaps not quite as much experience as some of the people he's racing against there.
Yeah, no, I'd be surprised if that wasn't a mistake on the entry list, and he's in fact running in the Pro-Am class.
Right.
He's from St. John's, Newfoundland. Not many Newfoundland races in this in the well, in racing in general, actually, I don't think. He started off actually racing on the Targa Newfoundland about 20 years ago. So, you know, he's been driving Porsches for a long, long time. He's an oil and gas man. I think most likely he'll be running in Pro-Am. At least that would be something. I'm pretty sure he's qualified for that. I'm not sure what the age is for. I think it's... maybe it's 45, in which case perhaps he's not eligible for that. He's not quite 45 yet. So, maybe that is correct. My apologies on that one. He's also running... I think he's playing a running Michelin Pilot Challenge as well, or was that just a one-off at the beginning of the season where he ran with Spencer Pompelli with the BGB car in a 718 Cayman?
One-off.
It was a one-off. Thank you, Shea. Let's continue with the team list. Still in the packed pro category in the 992s. And we move now to Team Hardpoint EBM, supported by Porsche of Austin. And this is the number 53, Riley Dickinson. Jeremy, you have a go at the man from Texas.
Well, Riley Dickinson has been a top contender now over the last couple of years in the Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge. He started off pretty successfully in 2019, finished third in the championship behind Roman De Angelis and Maxwell Root. Last year, he finished second behind Jeff Kingsley, and for much of the year had a really good battle back and forth with the Canadian Jeff Kingsley before ended up being placed second. I think last year for Riley was a little bit disappointing. He expected himself to be winning that championship last season and driving for the Moore Speed team as he was then. He was a little bit disappointed to be pretty soundly beaten, particularly towards the end of the year. But you know, he's got a lot of experience in these cars. Still, I believe he's the youngest driver in the field at just 18 years of age from New Braunfels in Texas, a suburb of San Antonio. But like I say, you know, he's a former Hurley Haywood scholarship winner. He's had success in these cars, knows all the tracks now, so certainly should be considered as a prime contender.
He didn't have a bad season last year, Jeremy.
Second in the championship.
Yeah, but, exactly.
The plan was to win it, and he certainly thought he was going to be in a good shape to do so, but in the end, really, he was pretty soundly beaten by Jeff Kingsley.
Yeah, Jeff had a very, very good year indeed. The other Team Hardpoint EBM, and don't forget EBM stands for Earl Bamber Motorsport, a man who has such clear and strong Porsche links, continued links, and has come up through Carrera Cup himself, of course, in various parts of the world. 65 in the Pro-Am 992 category. That's Efren Castro, Shea.
And Efren really with a breakthrough season last year, second in the Gold Cup category after finishing fourth in 2012. He's been around for quite some time. He's no stranger to Porsches. But last year, Kurt Swearingen was the driver who ran away with the championship. And I say ran away because he actually parked his car for the last two rounds and still won the championship. But Efren, a regular to the podium, I think there was only two races last year where he didn't come away with the trophy. It's going to be a lot more difficult this year, and particularly when switching to a new team. That is a different learning curve as well. But he's somebody that has proven that, give him enough time, he'll figure this out. And the car this year, I have to say, looks much more flashy and attention grabbing than it ever has before. So we will be talking about Efren Castro one way or another.
Okay, a new car for him to learn, of course, as for everyone in the 992 categories, whether it be the pros or the pro-ams. So that's Team Hardpoint in the 992 category. TJ Fisher from Top Racing has the number 58 for this season, Jeremy.
Yeah, he made his debut in this championship last year, drove seven races with this team at the invitation of David Baker, who was the most successful driver, the most experienced driver in the GT3 Cup, made his 100th start last year before before retiring. Had a couple of big crashes last year, did David. But to his immense credit, self-made man is David, and he's decided he wants to give some opportunities to young drivers moving up the racing ladder. TJ Fisher was one of the guys he picked. He's from Vacaville in California, another young man who had his... started out in the open wheel ranks, had some success there. This is going to be, a pretty steep learning curve for TJ. He had a couple of strongest runs towards the end of last season, had a best finish of third at St. Petersburg, which was mainly as a result of a few people falling by the wayside.
Yes.
But
got to be in it though. You got to survive. Yeah, and kept exactly it out the wall. He kept it out the wall when others didn't. Let's be honest.
Well,
yeah,
you're absolutely right. And you know, it's a great opportunity for him to drive this Apex Capital Corporation car. And I think for sure he's going to make the most of it.
The other top 992 share is the All Adrenaline Motorsports support at number 42 for another Texan resident, the man from Dallas, Bill Smith.
And another series regular last year was fourth in, excuse me, in 2019 was fourth in Masters, did not run in the championship last year. The year before he was fourth in gold. The year before that he was fifth in gold. So Bill Smith, a name that we've long associated with running in this championship in his orange with white lettering on the side of it, Porsche, car number 42. I'm curious to see what the new one looks like and how it wears what I'm sure is a very familiar livery. But Bill Smith is somebody, he knows the name of the game. He knows how it works. And as you said, you have to be in it to win it. He's somebody who will just go around and around minding his own business, not getting into other tiffs and whatnot of the cars ahead of him. And then he'll swoop through for a podium or two.
I'm still holding on to Kelly Moss for just a moment, because they have, as we said, the most entries here. They are really the super team this year. So I just want to drop down into Pro-Am for a moment. And I know we've been mixing them up in the 992s from the teams. ACI Motorsports, Jeremy, the number 17 car, and the man who won the gold category in the final season of the Cup Challenge last year, Kurt Swearingen.
Yeah, and unfortunately last year, Gold Cup was not very well supported. I think, well, primarily as a result of the COVID-19, and that kept a lot of the gentlemen drivers away from the track, particularly in the sort of Pro-Am championships, of which the GT3 Cup Challenge was probably won. But Kurt, you know, he's been with the ACI now in Porsches for a number of years, and has had success. He and Efrid Kasra had a super battle for much of last year before Efrid kind of made a few too many mistakes and that allowed Kurt Swearingen to pull away in the championship. But it was disappointing there weren't more cars last year, but it was a very, very good year for Kurt Swearingen. And with the amount of experience he has over the years, he's from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And that Chattanooga train, I think, is going to be running strongly in that 992 Cup car class this year.
And finally, before we move on to Kelly Moss Road and Race in their various forms, how about the number 10 share in Pro-Am for TPC Racing and Vernon McClure?
Vernon is somebody who, again, was affected by the racing last year, missing one of the rounds. I think it was the first Road Atlanta grouping that we had, where we had three race weekends. So ultimately finished seventh in the Masters Championship last year, but he was third the year before that. So somebody who's very good at running consistently in this series. He didn't break onto the podium last year, a couple of fourth place finishes or a handful of them actually. But Vernon is somebody who, again, much like Bill Smith, he's calm until something goes wrong. And he did have a couple of DNFs last year that ultimately affected his ability to run at Road Atlanta for the second round. But it's one of those things that Vernon McClure, very calm most of the time. And I will give him credit for that. So I'm excited to see him back once again in the Main Street Homes Porsche.
I like that. That describes everybody in a racing car. Calm until something happens. Yeah, certainly me. Let's move on then, as trailed, to Kelly Moss. Kelly Moss Road and Race. Kelly Moss and some other words behind it for some of these entries. Shea, Jeremy and me, John Hindorf, have been talking about some potential for the championship protagonists in both Pro and Pro-Am in the 992 category. Kelly Moss, you could almost have a series within a series, Jeremy, just for their drivers. And underlining the international interest in Porsche Carrera Cup North America, there's a number of people who have flags of all kinds of nations. Kelly Moss is almost like the United Nations of Porsche racing this year. Let's start with Kai van Berlo from the Netherlands, from Holland, in the number three car.
Yeah, you know, Kai is a really talented young man, just 20 years of age. He's been driving LMP3 cars much of the time for the last couple of years. Really, really talented young guy. And just Kelly Moss in general, though, I mean, you know, they've been a dominant force in this championship over the last, since it began in 2005. 71 overall wins, five championships, including the last few years. Jesse Lazare in 2016, Jake Edson in 17. The lone exception since then was Trentin Estep, who won it for JDX in 2018, because in 2019 it was Roman De Angelis, last year Jeff Kingsley. So I think that tells you all you need to say about why there are so many Kelly Moss cars in this championship, because the team knows how to beat. And certainly in Kai van Berlo, he might not be a name that's known very well in this country yet, but it will be before too long.
Yeah, and he's got the racing for the children's livery that the last year's championship winner had, Jeff Kingsley, yeah?
Yes. Mm. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And that racing for children's colours, that's been carried to championships by all of these drivers in the last few years. So, that's definitely got to be, if you look at the statistics, that's got to be the car to beat.
And Jeremy, a thought on running the team? Because, yes, it's a team, and yes, they all run out of one awning, but ultimately each of these drivers that we're going to talk about for Kelly Moss Road and Race, and the other words that follow after for some of the sort of quote-unquote satellite teams, they're all out for themselves. So is there a job of work to be done in kind of managing that whole awning space by the team at Kelly Moss?
There will be this year, yes, because they've got more than one potential championship.
That's my point, exactly. Yes, absolutely.
So, but by the same token, not by the same token, because these are all youngsters going for the championship. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. They're certainly going to have to keep an eye on that one, because Kelly Moss is used to running at the front, but they're not used to running up at the front with three or four different potential championship contenders, and that's certainly, I think, what they're going to have this year. So David Stone's been around this business a long, long time. He knows how to keep these drivers in check. At least he thinks he does. It's going to be a fascinating battle.
And you can't. The thing is, when you race like this, you cannot. Not sure any preference to these drivers. Kelly Moss, you know, they get people wanting to go and drive with them because of their championship credentials, but you've got to be totally impartial as a team, Jeremy.
Absolutely right. The good news is for the drivers, they can all draw on the same information. They'll be able to look at all the
good
data
point.
From each of the other cars, nice and easily. I think you can pretty much go to Porsche and say, hey, what do I need to do? And they'll tell you, because they have most of the information. But having championship contenders in the different cars, we haven't really talked about the other guys yet, have we? But, that's certainly going to be good news for the drivers, but kind of bad news for the team, because to keep these guys on the straight and narrow, so to speak, without running into each other, might be easier than it sounds.
Yeah, Kai van Berlo then in the three, undoubtedly for me, although new to this form of racing, Seb Priot in the 15, Shea, third generation racing driver for Kelly Moss Road and Race Multimatic, and he retains his place as a Multimatic driver, with Multimatic providing the suspension, if I'm not mistaken, on these new 992 Cup cars. This is Seb going for a championship. He made no bones to me in the interview we did a wee while ago now on Midweek Motorsport. And this is what Jeremy and I have just been talking about there, Shea. These young charges are going to have to be managed, because Priot is going for the championship, as is van Berlo.
For sure. And the sole intent of coming in this year is to win the championship for both of these two youngsters. And I would even throw Riley Dickinson into that category as well. Riley's been in this long enough that he doesn't want another second place finish or third place finish or, a pole award. He doesn't care about those. These guys are focused on coming out as the first ever Porsche Carrera Cup North America champion. That's all they want. And for Seb Priamo, somebody who has such a prolific background with Multimatic, racing in British GT, finished second in that championship in 2019, formerly raced with Ginetta Jr., British F4. He's run the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series and won it at Road Atlanta, Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. This is somebody who is very familiar with all the tracks on the schedule now, having run in Pilot Challenge. He has that as an advantage over Kai Van Berlo, his teammate, but it's something that will even out very quickly. That advantage will dissipate. And Seb Priamo needs to take advantage early and often as far as these races go.
Hasn't got any Porsche experience to speak of, Jeremy. Seb didn't seem to slow him down in the test at all. He did some running in last year's car before he got into the 992. He is the real deal. He's another one of these young drivers that this form of racing, Carrera Cup racing, attracts, and he's another real deal.
Yeah, no question about it. And yeah, he was quick. There were four sessions over the 2 days on Monday and Tuesday last week. Sebastian was quickest in all of them. Of course, the main advantage he has, even though he doesn't have any Porsche racing experience, he does at least know most of, if not all of the tracks we're going to be racing on this year. So that certainly is going to be a good advantage for Seb over Kai Van Berlo. Van Berlo, of course, he ran last year in the Carrera Cup series in Germany. So not in the Super Cup, but in the Carrera Cup. So he has Porsche experience, but Seb knows the tracks. And that is going to be an advantage because the tracks over here are very different to most of the tracks in Europe. And Sebastian, with that experience, is going to put him, I think, in good stead moving forward this year. But he's certainly going to be the man to beat at Sebring, having set the pace during that test last week.
Sebring kicks off the season, and we work our way through to Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta now into November. One or two schedule changes perhaps still to be made, and we haven't had the confirmation as whether Porsche Carrera Cup North America, as we are speaking now, will go to Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta in November. That sounds strange with their US headquarters, Porsche's US headquarters just down the road. However, one of the things that's attracting, Jeremy, these young drivers is for the first time the American Porsche championship has got a direct route into the young driver test. Haven't been running on the same rubber before. They've had sort of wild card entries in the past, but that's very difficult when you haven't been running on the Michelin rubber. There is a young driver program this year for any driver under the age cap, with classroom sessions as well as that chance to go for the shoot off. Now that shoot off happens end of October, beginning of November, normally in Europe, which is why I'm slightly questioning where the last round of the championship will be. But put that aside, that's a really important draw for these young career-minded professionals that we haven't been able to have before in the North American Championship.
Yeah, and this, you know, the I think even in this series, they're going to be kind of called junior drivers that are going to be eligible for that shootout. And you know, most of the drivers in the pro class are going to be part of that. So it's going to be quite a battle between all of them. I mean, you know, Patrick Long has been the standard bearer for America as a Porsche factory driver now for over 20 years. And all of these guys are looking to follow in his footsteps. Okay, not all of them are American, but certainly most of them are, who are eligible for this prize this year. And it's going to be a very, very hard-fought battle for the prestige, first of all, of being in that shootout, and then perhaps to become a fully-fledged Porsche driver, factory driver down the road.
And while we're talking shit about those young drivers who are interested in that, another Kelly Moss Road and Race in the Allied Truck and Car Rental Machine, the 27, that's his number, Sebastian Carrazzo has been working his way through the Porsche ranks in the last couple of three seasons.
He really has. Somebody who came on the scene literally out of nowhere, having raced in Farah and SCCA events back in South Florida in 2018. First race weekend, damaged the car so badly that the team actually had to take the chassis off site at Watkins Glen, if you remember. Bounced back from that to win the gold championship the next year in his first full season of racing. Last year, stepped up to platinum, finished fifth in that championship. So again, expecting another big bounce up for Sebastian coming into this year for the Puerto Rican driver. He's been close to winning races. Thinking about the second round at Mid-Ohio last year that you and I called, John, that was a very fun race for Sebastian and his best ever finish overall. But still hasn't yet got that W as far as the overall racing is concerned. It's only going to be harder this year, but he's definitely with the right team to try and make that happen.
I do think it's very important. I don't think it could be underestimated how important it has been for these young professionals to have that opportunity to be able to come in and do that run, Shea. And certainly I know that Sebastian is looking towards that. He's got a multi-matic contract already, Sebastian Priaulx I'm talking about here. He's got that in his back pocket, but that there's continued rumours about a tie-up with Multimatic and Audi going forward with chassis development for their LMDHs. But we've seen in the past, and Jeremy mentioned Pat Long, getting in with Porsche early in your career certainly isn't going to do you any harm, and it could be the only career move you ever need.
It is life-changing in one way or another to run for Porsche, to have Vysok know your name, potentially put it on one of their cars. You talk about career moves. Patrick Long has never needed another career move because Porsche picked him up at such a young age. And what better opportunity than to put your name in front of those executives who make the decision over who's going to be the next Matt Campbell than on a Carrera Cup platform? This is exactly what these kids need and what they dream about.
Now, if we're talking about championship contenders from Kelly Moss Road and Race, as we have been in the 992 Pro category, we've also got at least one championship contender, Jeremy, for Kelly Moss Road and Race, for the iFly Racing Kelly Moss. That's Alan Metney from Austin in the number 99 car. He has been running for the last couple of seasons, has taken an overall victory, new car for him to learn this year, but in stiff competition around him in Pro-Am, can he get the job done this year?
Certainly in Pro-Am, yeah, he's going to be the man to beat in Pro-Am, no question about that. The question is, he will be looking for more than that. He'll be looking again to get himself up on the overall podium or even go for overall wins. He's another guy who started racing relatively late. Just 3 or 4 years ago was when Alan Metney began his career, but already a huge amount of success. Last year was a completely dominant force in the Masters category, and as you say, won that race overall as well. So, he's quick, he's ambitious, he wants to be as good as he can possibly be, and he's got everything around him now to be able to go for that. He's going to be able to get the same data as people like Kai Van Verlo and Sebastian's Priaulx and Carrazza, who Thank are you. Running under the Kelly Moss banner. So he's got everything he needs at his disposal, and he takes it super seriously, and he's going to be fast.
Sure. The other Kelly Moss car that we haven't talked about is the Art Malibu car for Rennie Robichaud, who is in the 84 car, the man from Cincinnati.
Well, he is more recently from Cincinnati, yes, but originally, I believe, from Canada. So
I thought with a name that, like Robichaud.
Yes, exactly. A massive hockey fan, a Harvard grad, has raced with his daughter before, got his racing start actually in Skidoo racing. So quite a bit of difference. He'll be good when there's no grip.
I was about to say, if we do get these cars to Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta in November and the weather's bad, he'll be loving it. Let it snow.
Oh, he'll He'll be gone. He'll be so far gone. He's a man who's got Grand Am history. He ran twice in 2007 in that series in a Porsche. So long roots that goes back with the Porsche as far as that's concerned. Rene is somebody who his name might not necessarily be known by everyone else in the paddock. I think Rene will be the biggest challenge to Alan Metney for that Pro-Am championship, though, particularly being in the same team.
Yeah, and that's another bit of management that needs to be done by David and the rest of the Kelly Moss Road and Race. We're deliberately at the moment not talking about calendars other than to say it all kicks off at Sebring for the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring weekend, of course. Fitting in, hopefully, 8 other doubleheader weekends. Although, if last year's anything to go by, we might have to triple some of those up. They work quite well, I thought, Jeremy, when we had to do that. Mossport, Watkins Glen, Toronto Indy, Road America VIR, Indianapolis and Road Atlanta are the other venues. It's fair to say that that calendar has to be fluid at the moment. There's been some changes for IMSA. We've talked about the potential for issue with the Porsche junior drivers. But however many venues and races we go to, Jeremy, I think we've got a good season in both of, well, all three of the categories, actually, both the 992s and the 991.2, 991 Gen 2. I think we've got a great season in prospect again, haven't we?
Yeah, very much so. You know, the dates, as you say, might be not yet fully battened down, but wherever we go, we're going to see some very, very competitive racing. And up at the sharp end of the field, it's going to be really, really intense. Can't wait for it to get started.
We have seen, Jeremy, in the last couple of seasons, possibly even the last three seasons, that the championships tend to have been dominated by a single driver. That's not to say everybody else wasn't any good, far from it, but they do seem to have got themselves off to a great start and then gone on with that momentum to hold on to a championship lead and, in some cases, win the championship at a canter. I can't see that happening this year, if I'm honest.
No, nor can I. I think the Kelly Moss is going to be hard to beat, but there's several other contenders who are going to be knocking on that door. And if they can get the consistency together, that's what it's going to take, I think, to win this championship is not making too many mistakes, keeping mistakes to a minimum, and chalking up the points on a regular basis.
Yeah, and that is a very good point, isn't it, Shea, that Jeremy makes, chalking up the points on a regular basis. When you have got really tight competition at the front of the field, rather than maybe one driver or one or two drivers who are driving off in the distance, if you have a DNF here because you get involved in an accident or even someone else's accident and you're a championship contender, a non-score is going to be even more disastrous this year, I think, than for the last few seasons.
Yes, completely agree.
Oh, sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
Well, yes, but we're actually using the system, the point scoring system that's been run in the Super Cup series and other championships around the world for Porsche, rather than the IMSA system. The IMSA system gives you 35 points. Used to give you 35 points for winner, now 350 for some unknown reason in some of the championships. This year it's going to be 20, I think, for a win. So if you do have a poor finish, you're not going to lose quite as much ground as you would have done otherwise. But certainly consistency is going to be a major factor.
Yeah, that was the point I was trying to get to. But there's no dropped scores, Jeremy. You know, gone are the days when championships had dropped scores. And that's the issue. If you have a bad day and get nothing at all, and you're championship contender, if there's three or four guys at the head of the field, you've got to hope that the guy in fourth gets the win and not the guy who was trailing you in second.
For sure. Thankfully, I think there is enough variety and enough capability with the cars, particularly in every class, that you are going to find more winners this year than we've had perhaps in other years past. You can afford a bad day, maybe one bad race, but you cannot afford a bad weekend.
Yeah, very good. Very good point. And that becomes particularly important in the first race of three, Jeremy, if we do have to triple these up. And that's the other point I was thinking about Kelly Moss Road and Race. Do they have an inherent advantage because they've got more cars to run? Or is there the worry that if they have a multiple car accident with maybe two, three God forbid, four cars that are tied up in something, that they stretch their resources thinner.
Look on the bright side. on the bright side, having all that information, particularly with a brand new car, is definitely going to be in that team's favour. No question about it.
Is this
strength in numbers?
Yes. Is this a good year then for people like Kai von Berlo and Seb Priot to come into the championship, because effectively everybody is starting from a baseline with the new cars?
It is. The tricky bit, of course, for drivers who don't know all the racetracks, you know, familiarity with the tracks is hugely important. You know, it's all about experience, this sport. One of the big keys to success in motor racing always is experience. You know, the more laps you've got around the place, the better you're going to go. Always, when you go back to a track for a second time, almost always you're going to pick up speed. So the drivers who have experience on these tracks already, they are definitely going to be have a slight advantage over those who don't.
Shehad, I'm going to put your head on the block first of all. We talked briefly about the Pro-Am 991 category. Who do you see as championship contenders there? I'm seeing Ted Giovannis. He goes about his racing very carefully, very considered. He's very consistent, doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but this is sprint racing. He has got some experience of that. I would think he's got to be there. Who else do you think for that Pro-Am 991 category, the ones with the red windshield banners?
If he runs a full season, which hasn't happened for a very long time, I'm looking at Mike Levitas. If he doesn't, I'm going to say Frank Razzo. We've seen so much improvement from him over the last couple of years. There's got to be a breakthrough year. Why not this year?
Jeremy, in terms of the Pro-Am category in 992, Alan Metney, you picked out there. Who's going to be his major contenders then in that nine or so cars with the blue windshield shade bands?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's definitely a red-hot favourite there for Pro-Am, certainly. Yeah, Werner McClure, if he can keep it clean, which he didn't last year on occasion, he didn't do all the season last year, as Shea was saying, but he certainly would seem to be have a bit too much proclivity for a few incidents. He should be a contender. Efren Castro, ditto. Yeah, both of those two were kind of on and off a bit last year, but you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see Efren Castro and Kurt Swearingen going up against each other again, albeit in different cars this season. So you know, those three should be good. And John Goetz, you know, he's been around this sport for quite a long time now, as she was saying a little while ago. He certainly has a lot of experience in Porsches. And Tim Pappas as well. So, you know, it's going to be a wide open class, I think, in Pro-Am, particularly if anybody can. But I wonder whether anybody's going to be able to match Alan Metney.
I have a suspicion that we will still be counting up our fingers and toes when we get to the last round, wherever it is for that category. And it may well be the same, Jeremy, in the pro category in 992. We've mentioned some of the young charges. If I was asking you to put your neck on the block here, where would the $5 of Jeremy Shaw's money go for the top championship?
Well, I think probably because of experience on the racetrack, Seb Priot, I think, probably has to be the favourite coming in to the championship. But look, Lee Keane, we didn't talk about much about Lee Keane, did we? But he's going to be driving that second of the 311 RS Motorsports cars. Lee has a huge amount of experience in Porsches, has been mainly driver coaching for the last several years, but he's going to be excited, I think, about getting back on a regular basis. And he should push, these other contenders very, very strongly. But, you know, Kai van Berlo, certainly going to be fast. Max Root is going to be fast. Parker Thompson should be quick. I think we're in for a heck of a year.
He's already mentioned half of the entries there, pretty much. Riley Dickinson, for me, Shea, has something to prove. You know, again, as we said, he didn't have a bad season last year, but he didn't win the championship because he came up against a competitor who had a near-perfect season. He's probably got more competition this year than he had last year, but if he comes into it with the right mindset, has he got a chance in that 53 hardpoint EBM car, particularly with the support from Earl Bamba and the hardpoint guys?
Does he have a chance? Yes. Is the competition stiffer than it's ever been? Yes. Is he going to finish in the top three of the championship? Going to say no. There's just too many people out there who are too well established and too familiar with this style of racing that Riley's going to, he's going to have his work cut out for him. If somebody is going to come through and surprise us though this year, I think Dylan Murray is going to be somebody who can compete for the top three with BGB Motorsport. But my money is still on Seb Priya, the Guernsey man, to come through and win the championship.
Well, it's two for Seb Priya then from my two co-commentators on IMSA Radio. The good news is that whenever and wherever the Porsches race, we will have full coverage for you in sound and in vision. No blocks or breaks, whether in the US or further afield, via the player at imsaradio.com, the video player at imsaradio.com or imsa.tv. Hope you can join us for the inaugural season of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America. It's going to be an absolute cracker.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.